All right. Well, we're going to chat to Martin Vest in just a moment or two, because he's also here at the Africa Travel Indaba, and we're going to find out what the world of tourist destination management can tell us about that. Don't look so surprised, Martin. Come and join us here. Come and have a seat. Achie and I want to talk to you. All right. So, in case you don't know who he is, he's the CEO of Tourist Destination Management. Let's go a little bit more this way.
Move around.
There we go. How's it? How are you?
Strong.
Nice to see you. We were going to be on the roof, but we couldn't find the lights. So,
and it would have been too romantic in the dark.
I don't think anyone wants to see us, but for those who do, here we are. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
All right. So, how are you, first of all, and what's been happening with TDM?
Firstly, I'm very extremely well.
Good.
It's nice to be back at Indaba. It's my 35th Indaba this year.
35.
Yeah, and my very first Indaba was at the Holiday Inn in Van der Bijl Park, and we were 36 exhibitors and 25 international buyers.
35 years of doing the Indaba is, for most people, that's onto their second marriage already.
Yeah, for me too.
All right, so what happens there? What is the Indaba all about?
So Indaba, traditionally, before the arrival of digital communication, was really a once in a year meeting up with your customers, negotiating the following year's contract, introducing them to new product that you wanted to sell to them, that type of stuff. In the meantime, it's more a keep connected as human beings show, because you do everything else in a digital fashion. You really don't do contracts anymore at an Indaba.
Sure.
We're in the people's industry, and you still want to see the people, and you still want to have a glass of wine with them, and you still want to have a coffee with them in the morning.
Right.
And connect on an interpersonal level, and that's what an Indaba is there for. I guess there's, for us on the African continent, three trade shows that are really relevant. It's WTM in November in London, it's ITB in March in Germany, and then it's Indaba in May.
This is one of those three big ones.
Yeah.
Who else goes to this Indaba? I mean, we were talking earlier that all the airlines are there. From a destination point of view, who are the major exhibitors?
Yeah, it's a big, it's a large cross segment. So it's municipalities, it's regions. I went to see the Hibiscus Coast yesterday, which is the south coast from Durban downwards. It's provincial tourism authorities, it's national tourism authorities, so it's all the government and parastatal environments.
And what are they trying to sell? Are they selling their destinations to airlines, to local tour operators, to people who want to bring people in from all over the world? Who are they trying to reach?
Largely, South Africa has got a challenge in terms of the geographical spread of tourism. Mm-hmm. Because tourism in South Africa really happens in the Western Cape plus a game reserve.
Right.
And the geographical spread doesn't reach the whole country. So the economic benefit of tourism doesn't reach the whole country. The provincial tourism and the regional tourism authorities are of the view, rightfully or wrongfully, that the only way to fix that is to exhibit themselves and to highlight the benefits of their region to an international contracting environment. I think the geographical disbursement of tourism is largely driven by the consumer itself.
Okay.
I think the consumer chooses to go Western Cape plus a game reserve. So I'm not convinced that exhibiting at a trade show will help.
If I were a German tourist or an American tourist, I'd fly in either to Otambo or Cape Town Airport.
Yep.
And I'd usually only have Cape Town and a safari on my list, right? Yeah. That's what most of them do. Now, who can interrupt that process to get them to open their eyes to some other options?
I think it strongly depends on repeat customer base. I think a first-time consumer that travels to South Africa will do what they perceive to be the highlights, which is Cape Town, Garden Route, Bush.
We mustn't leave the Garden Route out. Shame.
Don't forget our Garden Route. And it's user-friendly.
Yeah, sure.
But first-time consumers will do that. They'll do what I would consider the race route. And that is brutally impacted by available time and available money,
sure.
and mainly time. So I remember distinctly when I started in Tourvest, or was became Tourvest late in November 87, the average length of stay in South Africa was 26 days of a holiday.
Sure.
The average stay that we currently have is 11 days. And just the average length, and that's a global thing. This is not specific to South Africa. People take more holidays but shorter. And the 11 days simply don't allow for the geographic disbursement that we're talking about. So I think it's natural that they take the perceived highlights, the perceived safe highlights. So tourism is often about personal safety because you don't want to expose yourself.
And we sometimes get a bad rap on that front too. I mean, sure, we, you know, sometimes it's deserved and we could always do more. But I think South Africa in...
No, we get a worse rap than we deserve.
Absolutely. And I don't think that that's fair either.
Yeah.
So I'm interested from your point of view, Martin, when you think about the international tourist, and we're obviously trying to promote tourism to South Africa, and SA Tourism do a lot there. And, you know, we've got a minister now whose job it is to try and promote that as well. What do you think the major inhibiting factors are? Because certainly cost is not one of them. To anyone from almost anywhere, we were just talking about Mexico and Turkey, which are about the only two currencies that match up to ours in any which way in the world. For most other countries and for most other people from countries that have a lot of tourists, we're a cheap destination. So it's not money. Do we have enough flights in and out? Do we have enough accommodation? Do we have enough activities for people to do? Is transport a problem once you get here by plane? Like, what would you advise if you suddenly could click your fingers as tourist minister and make a difference?
Yeah, so I think cost is a material aspect of it, and not because of what the land cost is, but what the air cost is to get here.
Well, it's far. It's prohibitively expensive for some
people. And because of lack of capacity that you touched on, the pricing of international airfares, but I'll give you the number. So in 2019, which was our best year ever from a volume perspective, the average international economy return out of our core source market, which is Europe, was 600 euros.
Mm.
Our average return airfare today is 1,800 euros, triple.
Wow.
So it makes a huge difference because those 1,000 euros difference, 1,200 euros difference is 24,000 rand difference.
Yeah.
And if you add that to the land, it makes a difference. So, and that's driven by capacity. There's not enough capacity.
So it's demand and not enough supply.
Correct. And the supply is curtailed by the Department of Civil Aviation,
right,
who don't give more landing rights and more slots to other people. And
what's the holdup, guys?
Historically, it used to be protectionism about over SAA.
Okay.
But
that's not a thing anymore.
It's still around, but
I know it's still around, but it's not a thing to have the protectionism.
I agree with you.
And that's probably an inheritance of the old regime. It's like pre-94 stuff to South Africans, right?
So that's first bottleneck, if I can call it that.
All right.
The second one is that we certainly need a more efficient, more quickly moving and more entrepreneurial South African tourism. You know, at the end of the day, the consumer, wherever they sit, you know, Gareth, if you sit in Germany, you look German.
So do you, actually. I'm sure you are.
if you sit in Germany, you've got the world as your oyster. You have hundreds of destinations that you can choose to go on holiday, and you want to make an aspirational choice, and that aspirational choice has to be triggered by something, and that trigger has to be our National Tourism Authority that makes it aspirational to travel to South Africa. And that's currently not happening. It's not happening the way it should.
Need to get all those irritating influences that Achie and I were talking about earlier and get them to go, you got to come to South Africa, opposing it. But I do think also we've got to be cognizant of the fact that South Africa is quite a long way for Europeans, certainly North Americans, even Asians. It's a hell of a long way to go. And we are down on the southern tip of Africa, which is a huge continent. If you could go to Dubai, or if you could go to Mexico, or you could go to any of the other places that we discussed earlier, it's not as far. to go. So you've really got to make it a sexy attraction.
Yeah, and there's so many aspects of South Africa that are phenomenal. I always felt, you know, for many, many years, I was a sales director for Tourvest for Europe. You know, we are counter-seasonal. When it's miserable winter there, we have beautiful summer. We have no time difference to Europe. So you don't arrive in your jet lag for the next two weeks before you're allowed to go home. We have unbelievable value. We have the world in one country. Used to be the byline of South Africa. You've got anything from mountains to ocean, from bush to beach. I mean, the diversity of landscapes and experiences we offer is unmatched anywhere in the world. But the potential consumer has to know that. And then he will sit for an extra 4 hours in an aircraft. From a tourist perspective, our quickest growth perspective, he asked me earlier on where are we really making impact at the moment, is East Africa. And East Africa, purely because they've got more air capacity, they have less of a reputational topic, because they're not cheaper once you're on land. As a matter of fact, they're more expensive once you're on land.
Are you talking about places like Zanzibar and
Kenya in its nature, game reserves, Tanzania, as a matter of fact, our fastest.
And by the way, I mean, let's not support South Africa at the cost of any of these countries and vice versa. But there are some magnificent hotels and resorts and really, really top draw stuff up there.
Yeah, and magnificent. And I'm sure you're going to speak to Mike just now.
Yeah.
Who's our MD up in East Africa. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful destination. But is it, from a quality perspective, better than South Africa? I don't think so. Is it diversity as broad as South Africa? I don't think so.
It's accessibility.
And its reputation.
And sure, they get that migration once a year. We've got all of our animals just chilling in the Kruger Park all year round.
Yeah. They don't have to move because they've got food the whole
everything's
year.
Everything's there, Yeah, they just have to keep scavenging.
It's feast time.
Exactly.
Yeah, but that's where our growth currently is. But I think it's a lot of what tourism does worldwide, anytime, is driven by air capacity and air flow and flight pricing. And that's what we need to work on here.
The accountants need to get to work on that immediately. Yeah. Yep. All right, before you go, because I haven't seen you, we certainly haven't had you on the show for a couple of months now.
Tragedy.
I know, it's affected everything. The ratings, it's all gone to shit.
Yeah.
But I do have to ask you quickly, because you have been in the travel business for such a long time. You know it like the back of your hand. You've done Indaba, you said 35 years in a row. What's your favorite place to go? And where do you just love, if I give you 6 months off and I said, all right, you can go to any three places in the world and it's all expenses paid, do whatever you like, what would you do?
Ooh,
where would you go?
I've just come back from St. Helens.
I was about to say.
Okay, so I've got friends, you mentioned the Hibiscus Coast, I've got friends down on the South Coast that are flying to and from St. Helena the whole time. They say it's magnificent. I met Eric Weinstein last year, who's a regular there. Douglas Murray's been there, some of the other people that I've interviewed.
You should go there.
Apparently, it's unbelievable. So apart from the fact that before you mentioned it or before I've spoken to any of these people who've been, all I knew about it was it was the exile site of Napoleon, right? He's got his house that he lived in there, and he died there. And
it was also the exile place of many of the Boer generals after the Anglo-Boer War.
So why do you love it?
I love it because it's got exceptional scuba diving with whale sharks. I do a lot of scuba diving. But what I really enjoyed was the combination of history, landscape, ocean.
Apparently they've got like four or five different climate zones on this tiny island.
And they've got amazing hiking trails, and we did a lot of hiking there. So, and it's 4 hours from Joburg, so it's not far. It's halfway to Rio.
Apparently that airport is newish. It's what, like,
opened 2019.
Yeah. Right.
Before then, the only way to get there was by ship two weeks out of Cape Town.
And there was only one every couple of months, right?
I mean, there's only 4,000 people that live there. They're called saints. So St. Helena is one. So how long have I got? I've got six months.
You got 6 months. You got three places. Travel. Where else would you go?
I would go back to the southern tip of Argentina.
Tierra del Fuego.
Yeah. I really enjoyed that. Luengo.
Like Patagonia, yeah?
Yeah, Luengo Kid and myself went there early last year in order to see if we can open a drifters operation there, which is still work in progress, but it is magnificently wild. Really wild.
Very sparsely populated.
Wide open spaces. Right. It's sort of the Karoo and a bit colder. So I find that amazing. And then last but not least, I enjoy my my ancestral home country, which is Norway. My mother is from Norway and my grandmother is from Norway. So and I really like the northern part of Norway, the empty spaces, the fjords. So those would be the 6 months that I would spend.
Not a bad selection. What do you reckon? 10 out of 10. All right. Well, thank you, Martin.